Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Those who have a conscience can feel shame, that sense of embarrassment when caught in a sinful act. There's also the painful shame that victims of sexual abuse bear, often for life. Today, how to handle both kinds of shame. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a three-part series on how to handle being the victim of sexual abuse. Our theme is Let God Redeem Your Story. And now, Pastor Lutzer comes with more of part two.
Let's take our Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 61 for just a few moments. Isaiah 61, where Jesus actually defines his mission. He defines his mission as rebuilding of the soul. And I want to have God, I want you to give permission to God to rebuild your soul, no matter what kind of abuse you've endured. Jesus quotes this in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke when he goes into the synagogue and picks up the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, the Tamars of this world, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The last part of verse 2 will come later, the day of vengeance, but verse 3, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they might be called the oaks of the Lord, the oaks of righteousness. Now, what I want us to do is to see quickly that there are three statements here that would have really helped Tamar, and they are in God's word because they can help you. Notice God says, I'm going to substitute instead of ashes. You remember I read that Tamar put ashes on her head? That was symbolic of her shame. God says, instead of ashes, he says, I am going to give them a beautiful headdress, a garland, so that ashes are not going to define who you are, but rather the garland that was a garland of beauty on festive occasions. That's who you really are going to become. Isn't that beautiful? I invite you today to get rid of the ashes of shame, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Now, there are two different kinds of shame. There is healthy shame. Healthy shame is when you and I feel shame because we ought to feel shame. We've all had healthy shame. In fact, in the Old Testament, God goes on sometimes chapter after chapter and saying to Israel, you know, they can sin and they have no shame. Amnon did this crime and he apparently had no shame. So that's terrible. Sociopaths have no shame. They have no feelings. They can destroy, they can hurt, they can cut, and they have no feeling about it. So shame can be very healthy and good to remind us that we violated God's laws. But thank God, we don't have to live with it, as I'll point out. Then there is unhealthy shame. Unhealthy shame is when you take somebody else's shame upon you. That's what Tamar was enduring. Ashes on her head, desolate woman, shamed. She is taking the shame that should have belonged to Amnon, and she is carrying it upon her soul. And that's what the problem is. She's bearing somebody else's shame. And some of you who were abused as children, the shame that you bear is not yours. It is your parents' shame, your babysitter's shame, your uncle's shame, whoever it was. That's not your shame. That's why I want to help you get rid of that shame. So God says, what I'm going to do is to give her a garland. By the way, if you don't deal with the unhealthy shame, I can tell some things about you. You're a very defensive person. You may be a very angry person. When somebody points out a wrong in your life, you know, you're all there to defend yourself because you are brought up possibly in a shame-based home, and therefore you fear exposure. You fear that people will somehow find out who you really are, and so all your defenses are up. And that's why, if I might put it in a very pretty way, you are very, very difficult to live with, but think that you are just fine. Thank you very much. All right. So that's what happens when we don't deal with the shame. And then God says, not only ashes are exchanged for a garland, but the mourning because of the past is exchanged for joy. It says right here, the joy of gladness and the oil of gladness. You never went to a funeral wearing oil. Oil was for the festive events. It was putting on your best cologne and going. And God says, that's what I want you to think of yourself. No longer defined by mourning and being desolate and saying, oh, you know, I'm condemned for the rest of my life. Yeah, we'll talk about the fact that you might be to some extent. But on the other hand, God is going to rebuild your soul. You don't have to stay where you are at. You really don't have to. Jesus defines his mission as the rebuilding of the soul and ministering to the brokenhearted. And then notice next it says also, garments of praise instead of a faint spirit. You are weary. It says in Zephaniah, I will take away your shame and I will give you praise on your lips. And by the way, praise is very essential to your recovery. Now, as I begin to summarize this and apply it to your life, let me begin by saying that there are some wounds that people bear that will never really be healed until heaven, and you need to accept that. One day, I was in this restaurant, and there was a woman with a very prominent tattoo on her arm, and because we had connected and seen each other, I thought it was appropriate for me to ask her what that was all about. And then she said this. She said, that was done by my ex-boyfriend. He was an alcoholic and an abuser. And she says, I am now married happily to a good man. But she said, I can't get rid of it because it was deeply burned into my skin. She says, I wish I could get rid of it, but I can't. Reminded of the past every single day. Some of you have a tattoo on your soul. Last week when we gave an invitation, we had many of you come, and a woman said to me, how do you deal with it when you look into the mirror every day and are reminded of your past? And I believe it was a father who abused her. And then she said, a brother who has scars on his body because of the whippings that he received. And so every time he showers, he's reminded. Yeah, it's a tattoo, isn't it? There are some things that will not really be healed until heaven. But here's the good news. You don't have to wait until you're, quote, fully healed, or wait until heaven in order for God to use you mightily. I was so blessed last week when a couple came forward, both of whom had been abused in their youth and now studying for the ministry, asking the question, can God really use us? The answer is, can God use you? God can bless you mightily. He can use you in ways that some of us who've never been abused know nothing about. Listen, don't be so focused on your, quote, healing that you think that there's no hope for you to function and be a blessing unless everything is taken care of. Some tattoos will remain, and Jesus will take care of them. In fact, in heaven, we'll even see his wounds too, won't we? The Bible says that, John says, I saw it were as it were a lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. He will have nail prints. He will have wounds, but they will not be open wounds. They will be scars, because scars signify that healing has taken place. And that's my desire for you, that your wound might not be open, that your wound might be turned into scars. You may still remember it, but it's no longer who you are. Now the question is, how do we apply this to our lives? I think that the answer is really a better, fuller understanding of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that was a substitute for us. And the Bible says he hath borne our weaknesses, and he has carried our sorrows. He carried our sorrows. So I want you to visualize for a moment that just like you might be bearing somebody else's shame, Jesus actually bore your shame. In fact, the Bible says that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus said, I've endured your shame. Stop carrying it anymore. Receive the healing and the forgiveness that goes down to the depths of your soul so that you know you don't have to walk around with the big word shame on your forehead. Let Jesus deliver you. In the past, I've quoted Rodney Clapp, who, speaking about Jesus Christ's ability to rid us of shame, said, does shame bind us? Jesus was bound. Does shame destroy our reputation? He is despised and rejected of men. Does shame reduce us to silence? He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Does shame expose our apparent weakness? The Bible says he saved others. The people mocked him. He saved others. He cannot save himself. Does shame lead to abandonment? Jesus took our abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? Does shame diminish us? He was crucified naked and exposed to gawkers. Jesus took your shame. You don't need to be where you are at. Accept that. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and today I want to just pray for you. I'm going to pray for those of you who struggle with your past, those of you who have been shamed. You grew up in a shame-based home because of alcoholism and because of abuse, and as a result of that, you had a code of silence at home. You could not speak to others about what was happening there. And you grew up putting that damper on your emotions, turning those emotions off. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for all those who have listened to this program today. I pray, Lord, for those who are bound by shame, set them free. Help them to come to you. Help them to expose their lives to you, their story, so that you can take it and you can redeem it and you can help them. And Lord, I pray for many others who perhaps didn't listen to this broadcast today, but you want to speak to them as well. And we pray that as the word of God goes out to so many people, that there might be multitudes helped on their spiritual journey. Today we thank you that your word says that Jesus despised shame. He shamed shame. Help us to accept that and to move on, we pray. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. This series of messages may be life-changing for those caught in the grip of shame. Let God Redeem Your Story can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, ask about Let God Redeem Your Story. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.